Hi, and welcome to our Living in Christ Bible Study Program. And today we're beginning a study of God's Word, in which He sets out His plan of salvation for mankind from beginning to end by revealing His entire plan and purpose in creating everything that exists. I'm Leon Steele, and this is part one in this series of studies on God's teachings and truth, and it's titled God's Salvation, Start to Finish, in which He presents in detail His intention and objective for creating all things. So we'll begin today's study in Genesis chapter 1, where we're given a brief but comprehensive outline of all past history and the future that is still to come. In the first chapter in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, we're told of a time when only God existed, a time before the universe or the earth or any life had come into being. And He continues then through chapter 1 of Genesis by telling what He has done, what He is doing now, and His complete plan from start to finish. The rest of the Bible narrates the history, the works, and purpose of all God created from Genesis 1:1 to the book of Revelation. That is, the period from before time when nothing existed to the end of this age when He will have brought into being a kingdom of spirit beings who are literally the spirit-born children of God whom He has made in His own image and likeness. I know that the vast majority of mankind does not believe in the God of the Bible, and even within Christianity, the book of Genesis, and especially the first chapter, is not believed in and accepted by most Christians as being factual and true. But the problem is that if Genesis 1 is not believed in and received as the truth of God, then the rest of God's Word loses its authenticity as well. The reason is that the first chapter of Genesis provides the complete foundation of God's truth, and that truth alone opens up and guides everything taught in the Bible. God says over and over that the Scriptures are His words of truth. They were given directly through the prophets, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through the apostles, and through all the other writers of the Bible, and all of these agree that God's Word contains all the truth there is. And the reason is because the eternal God is the only being who could possibly know all truth. The universe, the earth, all life that exists today, including mankind, are things God says He created. And not only does He claim ownership of all that exists, but He tells us how He created it all and for what purpose. And let me mention here that if you would like to receive a completely free CD copy of today's program for your own studies, I'll give you our phone number and address at the end of today's program. So let's begin now in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, where we're told that, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is God's entire explanation of how the heavens and earth came into being. He created them. This is not folklore or legends and myths or even theory. Rather, it is simply a statement of fact given by the Creator in which He reveals to mankind the origin of all things. But just consider this, that without chapter 1 and verse 1 of Genesis, man would have no way of knowing how it all came about. The truth is that most of mankind, and this includes Judaism and Christianity, does not believe in and accept verse 1 as being literally true. Again, though, the entirety of the Scriptures rest completely on the truth and the veracity of what God says here in Genesis verse 1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, the thing that is truly weird is that both the Judeo and Christian religions claim to believe in the one true God of the Bible, and still, most will not accept verse 1 as truth. But it becomes even more strange because mankind has no real answer as to how or why everything exists. Why do we exist? You know, without the answer God provides in Genesis chapter 1, man knows nothing. We can and do speculate and theorize, but without the truth of God as our standard, we have no actual bona fide answers to the question of how did it all begin? Where is it going? How will it end? And what's it all for? Man offers many answers, of course, but cannot verify or prove them. God answers all the questions there are of how and why and when everything came into being. And he specifically reveals his purpose for it all. This is all in Genesis chapter 1. Here God gives us in his word all history, prophecies, and fulfillment of the things he said he would do. And God has proven his words to be true and correct throughout the Bible. Genesis tells us of a time when nothing existed. And man does agree with the scriptures and has scientifically proven that there was a time when no universe, no earth, no life of any kind, a time when only emptiness existed. And verse 1 of Genesis agrees, saying that in the beginning, that is before anything, God created the heavens and the earth. Now man's most accepted theory and teaching is that out of absolute nothingness, something like a spark exploded for no reason, with no explainable origin or cause, and from that Big Bang, as it is called, the heavens and the earth appeared. So man's best explanation of all that is that out of nothing, for no reason, with no identifiable cause, with no known motive, and no known purpose, there was an explosion of matter which had not previously existed, and from that event, the material universe and earth came into being. It is supposed by most of the world's scientists and leading thinkers, including religious leaders, that this Big Bang occurred about 14 or so billion years ago, and from that, our universe and earth were formed. Now, interestingly enough, the scriptures have no argument with man's estimated age of the universe. Verse 1 says only that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. But here is where belief and faith in God is defined. Against all the various theories and explanations, such as evolution and all the different beliefs of man's religions, which attempt to explain how we got here, God emphatically says he created the heavens and the earth. Now, all else has to be judged against that standard of what God said. So listen now to what comes next in verse 2. The earth was, it had come to be, formless and void, or shapeless and empty of life, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Now, the scriptures are silent about how much time had elapsed or what had gone on between verse 1 and verse 2. However, the words, the earth was, tell us that the earth had come to be in a condition very different than that which it was originally created and had existed. We know from archaeological and fossil evidence that still remains that many eons, meaning an immeasurably long period of time, possibly billions of years, had passed, and that during that time God had brought into being many kinds of plant and animal life. Something cataclysmic, though, had occurred not only on earth, but in the heavens as well, that had caused the earth's surface to become shapeless, empty of life, covered with water, and in a state of darkness. Then we read in verse 2 that the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So between the time God created the heavens and the earth and verse 2, a catastrophic event or events had destroyed all earthly life. We're not told how this happened or how long ago the earth was in that condition. It's of no concern to us, because in verse 3, we're told how God began to resurrect the earth from its desolation, and of the beginning of the restoration of the earth and the regeneration of all life that exists on the earth today. The object of this series, titled God's Salvation, Start to Finish, is to follow his presentation in his word, not only of how everything came to be, but why God made it. He means for us to understand his plan and purpose for creating everything that exists. And it's all set out in the first chapter of Genesis. It's set out in outline form, but it's all there, and I'm going to go through that. I'm going to read the first two verses of Genesis chapter 1 now, and then read verse 3, which begins God's restoration of the heavens, earth, and all life. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth had become formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God's first action of the resurrection and restoration of a dark and lifeless earth was to restore light. He had to restore light into a world of darkness. We know that no life, whether either plant or animal, can live without the light necessary to support all life functions. Now, Genesis chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, we're told, after restoring light in the world, God begins the renewal of the heavens and the earth. Now, listen closely now and hear the day-by-day progression of God's work. Verse 4, God saw that the light was good. And when God says it was good, it means that it was perfectly suited for the purpose that he had called it into being. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Now, verses 6 through 8, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. Verse 7, God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse above heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Notice that God counts the beginning of day from evening to evening. Now, in Genesis 1 and verses 9 through 13, beginning in verse 9, we read, then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 7, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them. And it was so. Verse 12, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. The vegetation, the plants, and the trees were not totally new creation, but God caused them to grow out of the earth, able to reproduce through their seed after or like their kind. There was evening and there was morning, a third day. Now God divided the day from the night by light and darkness, which was continued with God's chosen people of Israel, who still reckon time from evening to evening. Man has changed our time now to a purely artificial standard, which measures only 24-hour periods from midnight to midnight, with no regard for natural light and darkness. Genesis 1, verses 14 through 19 now. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them, the lights, be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. So God made all the lights in the upper expanse of the heavens to give a natural order to all his creation on earth. All earthly life is, by the nature that God created in all living things, geared to the hours of sunlight and darkness, regardless of whatever hours man chooses to work and rest. God designed and made man also to function physically and mentally according to nighttime and daytime. Night and day also measures times in weeks, months, seasons, and years, as God established for mankind from the beginning. That has not and will not change. Man has changed the measurement of time into periods of 24 hours and has set the beginning of day at midnight for his own reasons. Still, though, God's fixed purpose for the light of day and darkness of night to regulate the life cycles of all living things, as we see in verse 16, continues. God made the two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to govern the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to govern the night. He made the stars also. In verse 17, God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Everything God made has a specific use and purpose in life, where God has placed it. Unlike man, nothing God has done or does is capricious or accidental. Verse 19, there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. By that time, God had completely restored the heavens and the earth to the condition that they remain in still today. The heavens and the earth had been returned to a state of order and usefulness and was again suitable for growing the plants and vegetables and fruits that would be required to support the life forms that he would cause to appear on the fifth and sixth days. By the fifth day, God had perfectly made ready everything in the heavens and on earth in anticipation of what he was going to do on days 5 and 6 in his next work of restoring life above the earth, life in the waters of the earth, and life on the earth. Verses 20 through 23. Verse 20, God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and in the open expanse of the heavens. Verse 21, God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. So after God made the swarms of living creatures for the water, he made the birds that fly after their kinds. And remember that in verse 2, the earth had become waste. It had totally lost its ability and purpose of supporting life for which it was created. The land and waters had become intermingled and were no longer capable of supporting any manner of life, in verse 2. And there was no light from the heavens to sustain life. But now, God had made the living creatures for the waters, and the birds and the flying creatures of the air for the expanse above the earth. He'd made them all after their kinds. God made all the life that would be needed for this age in which we now live. And then in verse 22, he says, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. God had blessed the birds of the air and the creatures of the water with everything needed for their life and purpose. And God saw that it was all perfectly prepared for what was still to come. Verse 23, there was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Now we come to the sixth and the last day of God's resurrection and restoration of the heavens and the earth. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25 ends the earth's former condition of desolation and darkness, and it completes God's resurrection and restoration of the earth and the regeneration of its life. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 began God's restoration of light in the world, followed by his step-by-step work of bringing order and purpose to the universe and to the earth. He caused his creation to again function as it does now, in perfect harmony and accord. God had renewed the heavens and the earth to again operate in unity and order. He established a universal, unchanging system of time, beginning with days and weeks and months and seasons and years, as it is now. Then he restored all the plant and animal life now living for the support of what he was about to do next. There was no accidental generation of life by unknown means, no evolution beginning from nothing with no reason or purpose. There was only God who had resurrected the earth from darkness, desolation, and death, and had restored it to a beautiful, purposeful life. God had regenerated all the plant and animal life in perfect detail to serve the new creation that had never existed before, but which he was about to bring into the world. And we come now to the one great purpose of all God's creation, which, to recap, began in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, with in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God has not explained, and man has no need to know, what happened between verse 1 of God's creation of the heavens and the earth and verse 2, where the earth had become shapeless, dark, and utterly useless and desolate of life. Then God, who had been hovering above the surface of the waters, began his work of verses 3 through 25, which tell us how he restored the heavens and the earth to function again in perfect harmony, as they still do today. God made all the life forms, both plant and animal, after their kinds. So the preparation of the earth and all its creatures was completed and made ready for God's final act of the earth's resurrection and the regeneration of all of its life to serve and support God's completely new creation of a man who would be made in God's own image. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." When God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness," he was speaking of the purpose and completion of his work, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, where he created the heavens and the earth. Everything was created from the beginning in preparation for what he tells us in verse 26, that he was going to create an entirely new being whom he called man, who was the physical image of the invisible Spirit God. And through that man, Adam, who was made in the image of God, he was going to make a man who was not only in the image of God, but who was completely like God. God was going to cause his seed to be conceived in and born of a woman, like all of us have been born. And that man, Jesus, was born with the flesh and mind that was the likeness of Adam and all mankind. Jesus was 100% flesh and blood man, having been born of a woman, and was at the same time also 100% Spirit God, being the Spirit-born Son of God. So Jesus was and is that man spoken of in Genesis 1:26, where God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Jesus is the only begotten Son of the living God to be born of a woman. He is the Savior and Lord. He's the Messiah that was planned for from before the beginning of time. Through Jesus, who is the Son of Man and the Son of God, who is both Savior and Lord of mankind, God would raise up for himself a kingdom of his own Spirit-born children who are made according to his likeness and who will dwell with him forever. Verses 26 and 27 now. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God gave dominion over the earth to man, and he still has that. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Everything God has done in Genesis chapter 1 was leading to his one purpose of creating a man who would be in his image and likeness. Adam was not that man. Adam was in the image of God, but was never in God's likeness of holiness, righteousness, and of eternal spirit life. Now, verse 27, there's just not enough time today to go into how God the Word became the man, Jesus Christ, who is totally God and totally man. But next time, in part two of this series on God's salvation from start to finish, we will go into the details of how God is making man in his own likeness. God finished his work of restoring the heavens and the earth, of restoring the life of the earth, and of his creating man in his own image in 6 days. When he saw that it was perfect and complete, and since then, God continues his work of making man in his likeness through Jesus Christ, his Son, as we will see. Like everything God has created, man was made part of this world for the specific use and purpose of God in building his eternal spirit kingdom. There's nothing about the heavens, the earth, and all life that is accidental or useless or unexplainable. If we believe in God and trust in his word and in his works, he has placed it all there for a reason. So I mentioned earlier that we would be happy to send a CD copy of today's program to anyone who requests it. Again, the CDs are free. There's no shipping charges. There'll be no follow-up of any kind. All you need to do is ask for Living in Christ program number 112, and you can call us at 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. You can also listen to and you can freely download any of our programs by going to our website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. And again, this is Living in Christ, program number 112. Our phone number is 501-316-0136. And our address is the Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And you can reach us at our website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. Well, we certainly thank you for listening today. We hope you can be with us again at this same time next week as we continue with our study of God's salvation, start to finish.